Are you there, gentlemen?
Yes, we are.
Whoa! Excellent.
Is it just you, Chris, or do you have someone there with you?
I have Christy Hobson here.
Hello.
She's the talented co-host. She's the star of the show. But we're all waiting. Where the heck are you guys?
We are currently sitting on a little terrace overlooking the Metau River in Mazama.
Wow.
We spent the night with John and Olivia Graffy, Vashon Islanders, who were actually, John was on this radio call, a couple weeks ago, sort of surprised us by appearing on the call. And we were treated last night to the first really legitimate dinner we've had in a while.
We've been overserved for both breakfast and dinner.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
It's actually good.
So how
steak, steak and corn and things like that we have not seen in a long time. my stomach to it.
How long has that been? When was it start date for you guys?
We started on May 2nd. By the way, John just joined us here this morning. Say good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
well, thanks for feeding these guys, John.
Yeah.
So hey, I'm dying to know. When I did my cross country, 5 years ago, the thing that I feared most in the last, I did the same direction as you guys, was day-long headwinds. Have you had that?
are you new, Chris?
That's right.
The better question, Chris, is how many fingers on one hand or how many times on one hand have we had a tailwind on this trip?
Right.
Yeah, we've had the precious few, and it's pretty much daily headwind. That's been one of the constants of this ride.
We've crossed into Idaho and Washington State. We figured okay, that brutal blast furnace in Montana would be over, but no, we came up from Pateros. Loop Pass was closed. We were redirected to Pateros yesterday, and then coming up the valley to Mazama, we just pushed a big hot headwind the whole way along.
Oh my gosh!
Well, we're accustomed to it now. That's our lifestyle.
Well, it's one thing if you're climbing a mountain, you've got a goal. You can see the top. You know that this is going to be over one day. But a headwind shrieks in your ears all day.
Yes, it does.
It's so demoralizing.
Yeah, after a while, though, we've just honestly gotten kind of used to it. We don't expect anything else.
No quarter given.
A 5 mile-an-hour headwind feels like a tailwind.
we've had days, Chris, where we've had, 20 to 30 mile an hour.
Oh, my gosh. I
without
can't.
Without the guts. Just all day long.
So who's out in front on those days?
Oh, I put Bob out there. Except Bob is so skinny now that you really can't grab off of
a lot of.
I keep saying, Bob, hold your coat out.
That's right.
Hold your coat out.
That's hard to draft on a skinny guy.
He needs more steak and corn.
Yes.
It is. We're getting it done, and there's this thing where you never mention the direction of the wind, because if you suddenly notice it's going in your favor, if you say anything, it will change. And we've proved this a couple of times. Bob keeps saying, hey, it's a tailwind. Hey, look at me.
Yeah,
at me.
It's a tailwind. We better turn around and go the other way.
yeah, right away. But it is nice to be back in Washington State. A profound feeling of crossing into Washington State, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, we're home. And I was telling John and Olivia this morning that we're sort of wondering, when will we know we're actually in Washington State, and we pulled into this tiny little town and found a cheap motel, and the building next to the motel was a pot shop. We were like, okay, yeah. We're in Washington State, aren't we?
Yeah, like that was an accident, right? Nobody's buying that.
Changes have been happening pretty rapidly after we left the plains. Coming through Idaho and seeing the Cascades, and all of a sudden home is very apparent to us, or it's becoming very close.
So
it sort of comes in drips and drabs, where before, staying with John and Olivia, all of a sudden feels like we're home. But two nights prior to that, we spent with Steve Abel, who actually, he was on a bike ride over here and with some pals. And after that ride was over, he came and joined us.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And spent two nights with us and then rode Wakanda Pass, and he could park his car, ride the pass, and then ride back down the pass and then join us again in the car. So we've had a great flow reindoctrination into Northwest life. It's been really wonderful.
And I think it's going to be an event when you get back on the island itself. I think there's going to be a lot of people that want to ride with you from the ferry dock to
wherever. Well, that'll be fun. We look forward to that.
Yeah.
Actually, we have picked a boat. We are going to be on the 225 from Southworth, and that goes, of course, there's nothing easy here. Of course, it goes via Fauntleroy. So we get off on the island at 3:15 on Saturday, and then we expect a strong southerly breeze as we ride down the island to Jensen Point.
Yeah, we've decided to take the ferry over to Port Townsend and go down to Southworth, as opposed to running the urban gauntlet through Seattle.
I see. Very smart. Very smart.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Just so you know, they put rumble strips on the entire shoulder, on every road. So you get that.
Chris, recently we were on a road that had not just one set of rumble strips, but two sets, where it blanketed the entire shoulder. And yeah, that was a bit of a challenge. Plus, we had a strong headwind that day.
Of course. Of course. And dogs and bears. What else?
Exactly.
Actually, that was pretty funny. We were at a bar, and you go to bars for lunch.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it's not like we were knocking them back.
I don't believe that, but go ahead.
All right. That's all. And so it was a bad enough day to begin with the double rumble strips and the headwind, and this guy got talking to us, and he said, "Yeah, and look out for the rattlesnake." You're kidding me. He goes, "No, they're on the road."
Yeah, and I think it was the same day we were in another bar, and the guy said, "Do you have bear spray?"
Wow.
Can we use our dog spray for that?
Just need two cans of it.
I have always carried, for the last 10 years, bear spray. And I have to say, the only thing I've shot was myself. And it works. So,
We finally, after all these miles, and way back at the start of this whole thing, the guy gave us the one piece of advice was to bring pepper spray. And we never really were chased. We had one dog way back in Indiana that kind of gave a go at it. But finally, I believe it was the day before yesterday, one dog really did the job.
Really?
And got Bob and I really pumping along. And gave it a good, you know, quarter-mile bit.
Really? Wow.
Grab one of us. But for the entire, and I should give that count. To date, we're at 4,050.6 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
So for that entire 4,000-mile ride, we have been chased once. And that's pretty good.
That's a good average.
Not that Bob or I even thought about getting the pepper spray.
No, I can remember looking back at the dog, and he did not have a smile on his face. He was serious. He was going to catch you.
He probably been chased more by humans than dogs.
Yeah.
So,
I think so.
Exactly where are you now?
Mazama. So Mazama, Washington. So we're about to climb the North Cascade Pass up to Washington Pass.
And what's the elevation gain on that?
What about 7 up there, right?
Isn't it, we're thinking that the Washington Pass is about just north of 6,000 feet.
And where are you now?
We're about 21 now, so we've got 4,000.
Okay. So that's no slouch.
It's a warm day, so it's a long, steady pull today.
Yeah.
And then quite the ripping downhill. Also, the west side of North Cascades Highway is big, steep downhills, but you also have uphills. There are it's a rolling kind of thing, and some of the uphills are quite steep. So it's not over when we get to Washington Pass. We have Rainy Pass and all that.
Yeah, so basically we've got about a 20-mile climb this morning and about a 40-mile descent with some climbing in it.
Yeah,
and then maybe 20 miles of ancillary stuff after that.
Looks like this a stage on a Tour de France we're looking at here. Yeah.
A little bit, the tour starts the day we get back.
Exactly, in your honor. Yeah. They've been put it off till you got back.
television reception before we let that get started.
So, any trouble with flats? Any mechanicals along the way?
As I knock on wood, not recently.
Yeah, not super, no flats since the last call, and mechanically, everything still seems to be working. My bike was blown over in a big gust of wind, and the rear derailleur hanger was badly bent. So I have, as the guy at the bike shop said, you're just going to have a ghost in your gears. And that's pretty well describing it. Things will all of a sudden shift and shift back, and so it's a little bit of a struggle. But I actually had to really kind of aggressively try to talk this guy not into trying to straighten the derailleur hanger with a fear that he would snap it off,
sure,
which often happens, and then I'd be,
then where are you? Exactly.
Right, and then what do I do then?
Yeah, our bikes are pretty worse for the wear, though. I mean, they are beaten up. We haven't been keeping them immaculate, every day. They're pretty worn.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, they're road warriors like you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is wonderful.
This whole thing about the, it does feel like the last couple weeks have been physically pretty aggressive. We are bagging bigger miles, and the winds that were supposed to disappear, as we said, haven't. So, and there have been these large passes. So it very much feels kind of physically aggressive.
So within what, five days of 100-mile stretches?
Plus miles, 5 days in a row.
And so, do you feel like you're just touring yourself into better shape? Is that how it's working? And
I think we've reached a stasis now,
sort of equilibrium.
Yeah.
At this point.
I wish you could have seen about, I guess it was like 3 days ago, after a very hot 100-mile day. We pull into the little town of Clark Fork, which ends up being a great thing. And Bob is trying to find the hotel, which is supposed to be, in the center of this little tiny town. And so Bob, of course, chooses the biker bar. It's not the bicycle bar.
Yeah,
the
right.
Biker bar.
They were the closest option.
He pulls up to this group of Harley riders who are sitting there and kind of says, have you seen our hotel? And they look at him and say, oh yeah, that's like 10 miles back. And the other guy's, no, that's more like 20 miles back. And I think they were honestly trying to help. But
they were serious. They weren't kidding me.
I was scrambling to get my phone out so I get a picture of Bob's face.
It was like, wait, buddy, you don't understand.
It was a mask of horror. There is no way.
I was about to get on my bike and go, wait. Let me explain this, buddy.
I think we'll just sleep in the bar tonight.
And that's the worst, when you've passed something. And you'd never want to re-ride those miles.
Oh, no.
No. You're just unwilling to give any of that kind of stuff up. It's been brutal. We're also, I think we're starting to show the cumulative effect of, we no longer seem to have rain, but boy, we get a lot of sun. And we're both getting kind of frazzled a little bit. So.
I bet.
Yeah, and first dealing with the elevation change too. Being from Vashon with the passport to Payne and with just all the pass riding around here, we thought we were pretty prepared for the mountains. But we actually had a ride about 3 or 4 days ago climbing Mount Sherman that I made a little bit of a miscalculation in the distance of the climb. I thought it was a 15-mile climb, and it turned into being more like a 22-mile climb. And and as 7 miles on a 7 to 8% grade makes a big difference in 100-degree weather.
When you start your climb, you always kind of look at your meter and all right, this is going to be over at this mileage.
Yes, exactly.
And we were getting to within about, a mile and a half of that mileage, and I'm beginning to think, I think it's starting to round out. We're getting there. And then a sign went by that said, slow vehicle turnout for the next 7 miles.
Wow.
So you're kidding.
So the slant tilted up about another 2 degrees for the next 7 miles.
Oh, my gosh. It's just like
brutal.
You come around that turn, and you're expecting to see the crest of the hill. And you just sink.
And you realize, too, that 7 miles at 6 miles an hour is well over an hour.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, oh, no, this is going to go on for, I thought this was over in 10 minutes. I've got another 70 minutes of this. like, well, oh no.
You know, it's like you said on Vashon, you know, you've got these steep hills, but it's almost like intervals. You're up, you're down, you're hard work and resting minutes at a time, and that is unrelenting uphill.
That's part of the tough part of that day too was with the heat. It was in the mid 90s, so that didn't help either.
I had a really lucky experience in a pass. I had not been up Logan Pass in Glacier Park since Julie and I drove out here on our honeymoon.
Wow.
So I was really, even though it was officially closed, I just had to try and get up there. So I went up, and I actually, the road was closed, the bottom of the road was closed to cyclists. And I sort of shot through that and actually got stopped by the park ranger and issued a formal citation. It was odd being pulled over with the megaphone. You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, the bicycle rider, please pull to the side of the road.
You know how slow you were going?
right. And I actually had gotten through so much of the no-go zone that he just said, just keep going. And then when I got to the place where you could get to the pass, they had closed the top third or quarter of the pass. And I'm looking disappointedly at the sign that says violators will be prosecuted. I'm thinking, well, do I just do it or not? And at that point, some guy came down from the top in a pickup truck and took the sign away and said, why don't you go for it?
Oh.
So I ended up being able to get this
timing.
With no cars. There were no cars.
That's incredible.
That's called a going to the sun road.
That's like you're on the Alpe d'Huez going up.
Yeah.
So I had actually already done that climb about 10 years ago with a bunch of guys. We did a short trip to from the North Cascades to Glacier, so I'd already done it. So I took the day off that day. I love my roof climbing.
It was nice to reconnect with that old feeling.
How are you being treated by motorists? Are you getting angry beeps?
This is interesting.
Yeah.
North Dakota was fantastic. They just got this feeling, trucks slowed, cars slowed. And Montana, the further west we got, the worse it got.
Really?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I don't know what the exact reason for this is, but I can't help but think that the 80-mile-an-hour speed limit, with most people, you know, tipping 85 to 90, makes a big difference. People feel like it's their right to go that fast all the time.
But very dry.
And so, I would say the farther west that we've gone on our trip, the tougher the motorists have been.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
And not pulling over. Letting their going by closer to our side of the road than the center of the road with no need, nothing, you know, it's like just give us a break here. So that's been disappointing, but the people at the stops and restaurants and so on have all continued to be incredibly friendly. It just seems to be a driving etiquette that has changed.
And I hate to say this, but that etiquette from Montana has been continued a little bit into Washington State as well compared to the rest of the trip.
Well, after this show, I'm sure it'll clear right up and They'll realize their error.
Yeah, the people are incredible, though. The people that you least think are going to be supportive are great. We were, the night before last, we were in a hotel, a Quality Inn in Okanagan. Quality might be a little bit of a stretch, but it was a fine place. And the guy who was the proprietor, or the guy sitting at the desk, the clerk, was one of these fellows who... a youngish guy who was absolutely covered with these downright morbid tattoos. You know, the kinds of tattoos that look like people have holes in their bodies. Those kinds of things. And he was a little intimidating to talk with at first. And he ends up being incredibly nice, although it was hard not to be distracted by these brutal-looking tattoos. Anyway, we get to they had a swimming pool, this tiny little swimming pool. So that's perfect. So while I'm sort of totally distracted by his tattoos, wander out to the pool, and there he is out there with his family, actually. His wife works there, too, and their little kids are playing in the pool. And I took my shirt off, and I've got the most ridiculous tan. And most of me looks like the underbelly of a fish, and then my arms look like jerky, and it's just ridiculous. So I take my shirt off to get in the pool, and the guy looks up at me and goes, Oh, dude, that is a weird tan.
And it's not even like our exposed areas are evenly tanned. You know, like our left calf is twice what our right calf is because the sun's always over our left.
Oh, of course.
Shoulder,
of course. Like the old trucker's arm out the window. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And we've got spot tan, you know, where our gloves are. And,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty bizarre looking.
Well, that's body art, I guess, right?
There you go.
Form of body art. So yeah. what's the first thing you want to do when you get back?
Oh boy,
take my riding shoes off.
I haven't. You know, I honestly haven't even gone there, Chris.
Really?
I haven't thought about what I'm going to do because then I don't know where I would go with that. But you know, I start making lists. I don't want to do that. You know.
It is. I think Bob and I both are in that camp where as soon as I start going in the thinking process, I just kind of shut down and I'm much more like just being where we are. John Grassi said a kind of a remarkable thing. John, do you want to describe that? I can't do it justice. The thing about the place or the time.
Oh, yeah. It was like last night, you know, we were having this wonderful visit with them, and I realized that they never mentioned time. In fact, the first time that we've been here that they mentioned time was the ferry from Southwark. But everything was places, and it wasn't like, you know, 3 days ago we did this or a month ago we did this. Everything was related to a place. It was just very interesting to listen to their orientation. They changed on it.
You know, it's funny in the sense that when you're on a bike trip like this and you say, how far to the next town? If that person's a driver, they say 10 minutes. If that person's a cyclist, they say, it's 10 miles. You know,
that is. And I think that transition that John is talking about is something Bob and I are both kind of reluctant to relinquish much of that.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling of being in the moment, being in a spot, and not really caring what the schedule has to say. Both have a vague feeling, yeah, we'll get there. We might be pretty crispy, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
And let's just think about where we are right now and the grandeur of that.
But here's a interesting point related to that. So even though we really haven't been thinking about time, we had given ourselves 2 months to do this trip. And by golly, we are going to be coming home to the day with 2 months for the trip. I mean, we're doing a 2 month trip, and that hasn't been that really was not intentional. We have just been knackering away at the miles, on a daily basis, and this is just where we ended up.
It is so hard to plan something like that. You know, you could have an injury that keeps you out for two, 3 days. But you know, when I was doing these, what I always thought was so interesting is when you got up that morning, you didn't know who you were going to meet, where you were going to end up, and it was a total adventure every day.
Yeah, and this feeling of, even now, after all these miles, it's still a joy to get back on the bike.
Yeah.
I look forward to sitting on the bike again. I know that seat is going to hurt by the end of the day. My hands will be sore, my feet will be sore, but I actually look forward to getting back on the bike. Although leaving the Grassies is going to be one of the harder departures for next. What's for lunch, John?
Yeah, exactly.
They're making sandwiches for us, so they're going to drop off to us at the top of the pad.
I didn't want to be too flippant, though, to really answer your question. And it's like Bob did a good job of saying, look, we're not going there. But over the last couple of days, I have started to anticipate the idea of seeing all the Islanders.
Oh,
and
sure.
One of the things I think is remarkable about the trip is that Bob and I are still getting along just fine. We were extremely close friends going into this, and we're extremely close friends now. And if I get home and the next day Bob calls me up and says, want to go for a ride, I'll tell him no. But if he calls up and he says, you want to get a beer, I'd say, yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Well,
so that's, it's the people. What is the first thing to do to get back? I think it'd be really nice.
Reconnect with everybody, absolutely.
Yeah.
Certainly our families and then the rowing club and the riders that we typically ride with. That's all very much looking forward to that.
So, didn't get started to mow your lawn?
No. John asked if I was ready to mow the lawn.
So,
I think Madeline told me that.
if somebody comes up to you and says, "Are you doing the passport to Pain?" Are you going to tell them, "I just did one for 2 months, thank you"?
Yeah. I would say yes. We're going to do the passport to Pain.
Yeah, definitely do the passport to
Pain. Right. I'm not going to do this much training before. So, I'm ready. In fact, if we can move passport to Pain up,
yeah, we just
about,
move it up about a month and a half. That'd be perfect.
Give me 2 weeks, I'll be ready to go. How about you, Chris?
I might take a pass this year, but you know, next year maybe. Well, maybe I'll do it on. I'm going to do it on
the weenie, you know.
Yeah, we want you back, Chris. We want you back.
Maybe I'll do it on an e-bike.
Okay. That's a category we're actually promoting.
Oh, is that right?
E-bikes are good. Yeah. Although I don't think you could find an e-bike that would make it 80 miles.
I don't.
But,
not 80 miles on this island. I do think if we had like a one of the stops had batteries.
Yeah.
You know, you just get some water, get a new battery, and off you go. And then you'll be hated by everyone that's on a regular bike.
But one of the guys that we make this constant contact with, and we've mentioned him before, Jack Day. And Jack Day will be on Vashon Island. He's going to stay with Bob or myself, and he will be on Vashon Island. So, you know, the general friendship group will probably meet this character. And he his bicycle is electric-assisted, and he actually... He's a 73-year-old guy who's done the cross-country trip. He's working on his sixth.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, hey, give him it. And he actually contacted a whole bunch of e-bike people to get someone who was interested in the notion of trying to promote a e-bike that could go the distance.
A touring
bike. Is that right?
Yeah. And he's found a group that wants to do that. Huh. So he goes around and tells everybody about his e-bike. And he was a little disappointed. The e-bike had this fancy readout display, and he was standing on the side of a road, and a truck went by, and a chunk of metal fell off the truck and bounced along and hit him square in his little computer dial.
Oh, my gosh.
So it destroyed that, but apparently the E part of it, in terms of the power of the bike, still works fine. So we'll probably see him buzz onto Vashon Island on July 4th.
Yeah, we spoke a little bit about him last week on the show, and I think even after that interview, we bumped into him again once or twice.
Yeah.
He's shameless about getting from point A to point B. He doesn't care whether it's, you know, with the e-bike battery or with his thumb. He will hitch a ride in a skinny minute if he needs to. So his whole thing was just connecting with people. That's what he does.
Well,
for,
I'll have to say, when I'm enjoying one of the e-bikes here on the island, I do have a pang of guilt when I pass a regular bike. It passes quickly, but I do give a little sorry. I'm much less in shape than you, and I'm passing you, so sorry about that.
Couldn't you just sort of put that on the back of your shirt?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Pardon, sorry.
I think there's a marketing opportunity.
Exactly.
There.
On your left on the front, and sorry on the back. All right. Well, gentlemen, what are you going to... This Talk to the Island, tell them what you want them to hear before you have your triumphant return.
Crickets.
I'm totally stunning.
Is this your last interview before you get here?
We're going to... Jeff's invited us into the studio, I think, after the trip.
Oh, so wonderful.
Let me do a sort of a recap of everything.
Oh. I counted the states up this morning, and it was 13 states. Now that we're back in Washington, that's the 13th. And I think the final line for me, or the voice I would give to it, is the country, in general, is both physically and emotionally in great shape. That people out here, doesn't matter who you voted for, people want to get to know each other, they like each other, they're interested in each other, and they're taking care of their stuff.
Yeah,
and the country looks great, and there's a great spirit out here. One of the hopes I think Bob and I had in doing this trip was to find a little soul in an otherwise turbulent time, and I think we found it. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think it sort of confirmed our feeling that people are basically good, you know. People are led or misled in different directions, but I think overall people have been really, you know, outreaching to us and friendly, and pretty much the entire trip we've had that experience.
Well, you know, I found that myself is it always restores my faith in humanity when I do one of these.
Yeah.
And you simply can't eat enough ice cream.
That's reason enough right there.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, I hope the wind's at your back and the roads are smooth and safe travels.
And the dogs are calm.
The dogs are calm.
That's good. And hey,
thanks for doing that.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Terrific.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
And the dog is sitting next to us. It's so calm that I'm going to go over and check its paw. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.